Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Crime, Lime, and Vodka. We're a newly established podcast, which is made up of a bartender and a hairdresser who likes to unwind with a cocktail and a crime case. We'll contain violent descriptions and streams of details following the murder cases. Here's to make a difference in the only way that we know how. Thanks for tuning in to Crime, Lime, and Vodka. Hey guys, welcome back to Crime, Lime, and Vodka. It's Tracy.
And I'm Amber.
And we're going to be talking about our second case today for our second episode. So today we're going to be talking about Skylar Neese. She was a 16-year-old girl who was born in Star City, Virginia. When Skylar and Sheila were only children, they connected on a different level. So they were like inseparable, the little 20s, like when we were kids.
BFFs. Us.
Literally. Sheila met her when she was 8, but they didn't attend school together until they were in high school. So, like, they would keep in touch and spend weekends together. So, Sheila was kind of like this little badass, and Skylar was kind of like the easygoing, go with the flow, very lovey-dovey type person. And then they got introduced to Rachel. Rachel was the redheaded theater kid who was this hardcore Christian and perfect and put together as far as we knew. So, Sheila being the young, wild, crazy, beautiful girl she was, she liked to party a lot. And she was kind of like a bad influence on Skylar. And Mary and Dave, who were Skylar's parents, didn't really like that idea. Like, they knew that they would, like, hang out and they got caught smoking pot before, but, like, they didn't really think anything of it because all teenagers dip in shit like that. But it got a little bit worse as Rachel came into the picture. So Skylar had a whole plan laid out for herself. She had, like, this 5-10-year plan where by the time she was 25, she wanted to be a criminal lawyer. She wanted to start a career and get married, fall in love, and Sheila didn't give a shit. So Skylar was, like, moving on in her life, getting shit together. She got her a little job at Wendy's. Like, I had my first job at Subway. Like, I get it. Fast food's where you start. Like, you worked at Hardee's, right?
Ugh.
Burger King?
Yeah.
Like, we all did that shit. And they just, they were on two different paths, but they were so connected.
She was a party girl.
Yeah. She was the girl I wanted to be in high school, but I wasn't popular enough for it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I never went to parties.
I was at home with the dogs.
Same. I never went to parties.
Partied with my mom.
Literally partied in my closet by myself.
Yeah.
I was still in the closet then. So they went to University High School, which is north of Morgantown. It's like 3.3 miles from Star City. So where we're from, we have like this little thing called a tri-city. So that's kind of like what they were in. Like, you go over a bridge and you hit the next town.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, hey, there's Walmart, next town. There's Walgreens. So, they didn't really have a far stretch from each other. So, they were always together before school. Once they started school, it was 10 times worse. They were constantly together. All three of them. And Rachel was really jealous of Skylar and Sheila's relationship.
Yeah, because she was new.
Yeah, she was a new girl, but yeah, she was, like, the sassy, fierce one that came in, and Sheila had the hots for her.
It's the redheads.
Yeah, love wrong. Or I hot. Love redheads. Wow, yeah. So, I get it. So, they just, they singled Skylar out. Like, they would get dressed the same that day and like leave her out, not
Sheila,
tell her.
Rachel, right?
Yeah. They would just leave her out, not tell her what was going on, and they would get like all dressed up and be like, you forgot?
Well, I think it's because they had the hots for each other.
Oh, definitely.
And then maybe it just went past it and they were like, fuck this girl.
Well, Sheila was also very like sexually active and open about her sexuality. Mm-hmm. And Rachel was more of like sexual but quiet about it because she was that innocent Christian girl. And Skylar was just doing her own thing. She didn't give a shit about dudes.
Yeah, I was about to say, all the research I did, like, it didn't seem that Skylar was too much into the sexual activity, really. I couldn't really find anything.
She might have had sex with boys, but, like, she was not.
I'm sure, but it wasn't written about.
Yeah, and she wasn't so open about it. Like, She was a good kid. Like Sheila.
Yeah.
Yeah, like she...
It's all over the place when you research Sheila.
Oh, God. That girl was crazy. So, getting to the moral of the story, they were, like, the Three Musketeers until... There was said that Skylar caught Rachel and Sheila having sex when they got drunk one night at a sleepover. And it pissed Skylar off. Like, for real, though, why you couldn't wait till I left?
Honestly, okay, so three best friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do it in the same place as your other best friend? You, like, I don't know. Like, that's weird.
It's awkward.
I would be like, oh my God, I wouldn't want Skylar to catch me and you. You know, like, that... I feel
that would
like
make everything so much more awkward. Know. They didn't think about that stuff, but they...
I feel like they wanted Skylar to see,
they
honestly,
tried
but...
to say that was, like, the motive of everything, mm-hmm. but I really don't think that Sheila cared. She didn't really care.
Yeah, I think she was just a heartless bitch, but, you know, mm-hmm. my personal opinion.
I agree. So, after all that, she got really irritated with them. It got to the point where, like... They went on a summer vacation to Myrtle Beach.
Who went on a summer vacation?
Sheila.
Which one?
And Skylar. Skylar. I'm okay. sorry. Okay. Sheila and Skylar went on the vacation. And they were having fun. They do this every year for spring break, summer, whatever. But this year, they got in a really bad argument the entire week. Like, the entire time that they were there, it was a constant fight. So, when Sheila got home... Sheila and Skylar got home. They kind of went their separate ways. And Skylar would post on Twitter saying, like, you should know better than to do that. Like, I'm going to tell on you. Like,
ooh, something about secrets. I seen that,
yes,
right?
I have it right here.
Yeah, pull up the Twitter.
She said, you doing shit like that is why I will never completely trust you. And then I read another thing that there was this post that she had posted a few weeks before, and it was the motive, the whole reason why they killed her. Mm-hmm. So, she said, there's just something about you I can't fucking stand. Just know that I know.
And that's what Sheila said.
Sheila didn't say anything. That's what Skylar said.
Oh, that's what Skylar said. Okay.
Skylar said, I know. Just know that I know.
And, like, I will tell on y'all bitches. That might have been for the gay thing, huh?
I don't know.
You think so?
I think there's a lot of it. They were doing a lot of shit behind people's backs.
Because not... How did we find out that... Well, it was just said that Skylar caught them having sex. We don't know for sure.
It was in her diary.
Oh, in Skylar's?
Mm-hmm. Her mom, Mary, went through her diary after she had died.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an actual...
But the girls didn't say that they did it. Sheila and Rachel.
They never admitted to
it. Yeah. So maybe.
But Skylar was like, I caught them.
Like, I'm about to tell on y'all.
Yeah. So she was fed up at that point. Well, about a month before they committed the murder, they were at school and they were taking, like, this forensic class and they were asking the best ways to get rid of a body and to kill someone. It doesn't have to be connected, but, like, doesn't it sound a little eerie that y'all were planning this? So, it's summer. They just got back from their vacation, and Sheila and Rachel kind of conjure up this plan to end their friendship with Skylar. Skylar has no idea what's going on, so they're planning this completely behind her back. They no longer wanted to be bothered with her annoyance presence, which I find it's super strange. But it was like a switch went off immediately. They no longer cared about her. So they planned that they were just going to do it. Rachel was supposed to go to church camp July 1st. But it was canceled because of weather. So they decided this is the perfect time to do it. This is a sign to kill Skylar. Because God canceled my trip. My church camp trip. Everything happens at church camp.
Oh, my God.
So, I feel like if she would have went, maybe Skylar would still be alive, but whatever.
It's nothing to laugh at. I'm not laughing because...
No, but,
it's
like...
It's funny, but I'm laughing that this girl is so fucking stupid that she's like, this is my sign
this
to
is my
kill
sign.
Somebody.
I'm Catholic, and this is my sign to commit one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, what a okay.
Let's whatever. Kill this girl. So, she was to leave on church camp on July 7th, which was the day after they committed the murder. So, the day of July 5th, Skylar had a late shift at Wendy's. She got off around, like, 10 p.m. So, she headed home, took a shower, got ready for bed, and about, like, 10:40, she went and kissed her mom and dad goodnight. Night, Mom. Love you. See y'all tomorrow. And she goes in her room, unplugs her phone charger, takes her cell phone with her, puts some flip-flops and a jacket on, and leaves. Like, she got her bag and her phone and her jacket. Literally the only thing she takes with her. Takes her contacts out, and this girl just has her glasses on. And she decides that she's going to sneak out the window to go ride around and smoke weed with her two best friends. Something that we do, like, go ride with your friends, hang out, chill. Not thinking anything of it, not suspicious at all.
You know, because it's your best fucking friend or whatever.
Right. And they have knives under their Abercrombie hoodies. They have bleach and wet napkins and a change of clean clothes and a towel in the back with a shovel in her trunk. Like, this girl has no idea what's about to happen to her.
And so, these bitches thought about it for too damn long.
Exactly. So, she sneaks out. Runs down to the car, jumps in the car. This is a little after midnight. And Skylar's like, all right, so what's the plan? And she's like, all right, so we're going right around. We're going to follow Route 7 west, and we're going to go towards Blacksville, which is their normal place they go. Like, they were going right around smoke where they normally do. But they saw a cop. They're trying to kill this girl. So they got really scared. So they were trying to figure out another way to go. So they took an alternative route, which went down a road near Brave, which is like a little city inside of Pennsylvania. So they're like on the border of West Virginia and Pennsylvania. So they were going into a whole nother territory, but she didn't think anything of it because Sheila's parents, well, her dad, owned that land that they were going by.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like this little spooky back road, and it didn't really raise any flags because they do that kind of stuff all the time. So they ride down, they park about a mile down the road, they get out, and they walk into the woods, and they realize, hey, we got the blunt, but we don't have a lighter. So they ask Skylar to go back to the car and get a lighter. So this poor girl turns around, and they literally count off to three. One, two, three, out loud, and they just start stabbing this girl in her back. Literally stabbing your best friend in the back. They continue to stab her, and she tried to run away, so she takes one of the knives that, I'm guessing the one that Rachel had, and she slices Rachel's ankle open, and it kind of pisses her off even more. So, Rachel's a tall bitch. She's like 5'9", and Skylar's kind of close to my height, like about 5'1".
Out of the three, she was the shortest.
She was the smallest.
Yeah.
And this big redheaded bitch tackles her, and
like, continue. Oh, you mad that the girl that you're stabbing defended herself?
And the whole time, she's just asking, why? Why are you
poor
doing
girl.
This? Why are you doing this? Like, your best friends are literally stabbing you to death. And you're just like, why? You have no idea what's going on. So, they ended up stabbing her over 50 times. And then, with her last breath, she asked Sheila, why? And they watched her die. They stood over her and watched this poor girl die.
Cold-hearted.
So, they drag her to the side to the nearest tree, and they take out the shovel, and they try to break the ground. It's middle of the summer. It's dry. It's like, really humid down here, but, like, up there in West Virginia, it's dry air, so they couldn't break the dirt. So, they just put her under their tree with a bunch of branches and leaves. Like, no one's gonna see this teenage girl's body under a tree. But it was a back road, so I guess they would get away with it. So then they walk to a close creek, wash off their bodies, change their clothes, get rid of the bloody clothes and the knives, and they head home. So this is around 5 a.m. So it took them from a little after midnight till 5 to commit the murder. After they get home, I'm guessing Sheila just couldn't fall asleep with what she had done. Mm-hmm. And at 9:09 a.m. she tweets, "Sometimes you just gotta play it cool."
Why would you post something on social media right after you do something like that?
They did that the entire time, bro. Like, The whole time that the investigation's going on,
people deep
down know who really did it, and she's gonna say quirky little things like...
Like, all the classmates thought it was them, right?
Yeah, like, she just... Everybody had an idea, because they were always together, and they just, like, acted like nothing happened. So, the next morning, on July 6, 2012, Dave drives home to exchange the car with Skylar. Skylar had a shift at Wendy's at 4 that day, so... I guess they do, like, their usual routine. He would come home for lunch, she would bring him back to work, take the car. Well, he goes knock on her door, thinking that she's just sleeping in or whatever. Goes open the door, and it's locked. So he starts banging. He's like, Skylar, wake up. Skylar. No answer. So, like, 5 minutes later, he's like, okay, obviously she's not waking up. So he walks outside around to the open window, and there's a bitch underneath her window. So he immediately calls his wife. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, I can't find Skylar nowhere. And Mary says that she's probably at a friend's house swimming or hanging out or whatever. To give her time, she's going to come home, change for a shift, and then, yeah. So, he calls Sheila. He's like, hey, have you seen Skylar? She hasn't been home, like, her bed's still made, so she didn't even sleep here last night. Do you know what's going on? She was like, no, I talked to her right before midnight, but that was it. So they end it. He's like, okay, well, just let me know if you hear anything from her. So 3 passes, no sign of Skylar. 4 o'clock passes, no sign of Skylar.
Now so, she's late for work.
Yeah, they're starting to freak out. So around 5 o'clock, Wendy calls Dave and Mary, and they're like, Skylar never came in. And she's really responsible. She normally always calls in, so something's up. And they automatically call the police. Well, back then, in 2012, they had this, like, policy kind of thing. Whenever you would report somebody missing, they had to be gone for over 48 hours mm-hmm. to be reported missing. And she was a teenage kid, so they thought that she had ran away. So, Mary, being the smart mom that she is, she calls the landlord, and they get copies of the security surveillance cameras that they have outside. So... they start looking at it and all this, and they see that a little after midnight, Skylar jumped out her window and got into a car, but they couldn't make out what car it was, who was in it, anything like that. So, the police finally are like, okay, we're gonna look into it, we're gonna see what's going on, something's not adding up right. And Sheila calls Dave, and she's like, all right, I have to tell you the truth. We went right around, we got high last night, but we were back before midnight. She had us drop her off down the road so someone else could pick her up. And Dave and Mary's heart just drops. They're like, starstruck. Mm-hmm. They got caught doing stuff like that before, but the police returned them back home. So Mary's thinking that somebody maybe kidnapped Skylar between the time they dropped her off and the time that it took to walk to the apartment. So a little bit about Rachel. She was to leave for church camp the next day, which was July 7th, but instead she went out in the boat with her mom and her mom's best friend. So, they're just, like, trying to figure out why she's so into her phone that day. And they had no idea that Skylar was missing, so they didn't think anything of it. Sheila was all stuck up Mary and Dave's ass. Like, she wanted to be all up in it. She wanted to be there during the entire investigation.
Sick. How you kill somebody's kid and want to be up the mama and daddy's ass?
Because she wanted to play it off.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess. You're right.
She wanted to play it off. She wanted to, like, direct everything away from her. So, the FBI started to get involved because they thought it was linked to a different case. And Sheila finally got her interview on July 9th. So, this is 4 days after they killed her. She kept her story together. They said that she seemed more worried about the case rather than finding her friend in the police's eyes. Like, she was just so infatuated with the investigation. And July 10th, Rachel was contacted and interviewed by the police, but she acted as if she didn't even know Skylar was missing. She was to show up, and she didn't. They finally got an interview with her, and Rachel and Sheila's stories were so identical. Like, there was not a single hair that wasn't in place.
Rehearsed.
It was so rehearsed. So they only had one person of interest at this point. They had some bank robberies that went around the same time that Skylar went missing. And there was one a month before a bank was robbed. And then 10 days after her murder, there was another one. And they found out that the little brother of Dylan Conaway dated Sheila. So, like, he kind of knew Skylar and was kind of, like, thought of. Like, he knew who she was. So they were like, this might be a lead. But it didn't really go anywhere.
Because it doesn't sound like anything.
Yeah, there was nothing to go on.
Yeah.
So the FBI stepped in and they were like, okay, we're going to get to the bottom of it. And they started interviewing kids that were associated with Skylar at school. And this is on September 3rd. This is, what, 2 months after she went missing? So they definitely wanted to see the last person she was seen with. And it just keeps coming back to Sheila. They go over and over and over again with the security camera, and the FBI has, like, this thing where they can get the pixelation out. It can look not so grainy, and they could see more things, and they finally started to see what kind of car it was.
Hello? Wait, can we stop here? Okay. If my kid had this best friend, and his best friend came to my house all the time, and I was feeding this kid, blah blah blah, or whatever, don't you think I would know what the fuck that car looked like? Right. And my kid was with her all the time in that car, regardless if she just got a car or whatever, because I know people's gonna try to say that she didn't get a car. You would think a parent would still know what the car
they looks did like. But in the security camera, when they first looked at it, it was so far away they thought it was an SUV.
I know, but I looked at the foot, it didn't look like an SUV to me.
No, it didn't.
But maybe it's just me.
But that was after the close-up, and they started to figure out that it was a sedan, and Sheila drove a silver Toyota. So, like, she had this little bitty car, and it wasn't adding up, because she said that she had picked her up before midnight, and this was after midnight. So they took her phone records, and they started to look at it, and they started to notice that Sheila was lying about more than one thing. You wouldn't have been texting her if you were with her. So all those phone records of them talking after midnight, y'all would have been together. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, why would you text somebody you're sitting by, supposedly?
Exactly. Saying, hey, are you here yet? Bro. No. Like.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It don't make no sense. So, the FBI wasn't gonna do anything. Like, they started to figure out, like, it's getting serious. We're starting to figure out that Sheila might have something to do with it. So, they told the niece not to tell her anything. So, they wanted her completely absent-minded. They started pointing fingers, but they weren't really certain yet. So, in mid-September, the rumors at the school started that it didn't seem like they were too bothered that Skylar was gone. But they had rumors that she also overdosed. So, everybody had in their head that Rachel and Sheila had picked up Skylar. And she either shot up heroin or was taking pills. And she overdosed and they didn't save her. They just, like, dropped her off.
Just left her.
So, this is what everybody thinks it is. And they started to get bullied for killing Skylar. And they covered up their story so well up until Rachel had a mental breakdown. So
they should have been getting bullied.
Girl. So I watched this interview with the parents on 2020. And they were saying how all these people were messaging them around the time that Skylar went missing. About how Sheila was such a bully. And she bullied this girl that was pregnant. And Skylar, like, literally pulled this girl out and was like, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, I'm gonna take up for you. You're fine. You're safe with me. And she had Sheila leave the girl alone. Like, she was the good person. And Sheila was the bully bitch around school. She thought she was hot shit. She really, really did. So this time that she had her breakdown, Rachel was, like, already really sensitive and ready to break. And she had went on a family little getaway with her mom to visit family in Vermont. And Rachel's mom asked her dad, Rusty, to move back in with them. They were separated. But he lived so close to Sheila, she was trying to do everything she can to get Rachel and Sheila apart. She knew that Sheila was up to no good, and she didn't really know what they had done.
And that was Rachel's mom.
Mm-hmm. Patricia. Okay. Patricia and Rusty. They knew that something was up. So they were like, we're going to put an end to it. You're not allowed to hang out with her anymore. You're not allowed to have contact with her. We're having your dad
move in. Don't know what happened, but we don't like her.
Exactly. So when she gets home on the 28th of December and sees that her dad's car was there, she got a little excited because she was like, okay, maybe they're like, let me see him. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when they told her that he was moving in and the reason why, she flipped the fuck out. She started running around the neighborhood screaming like, wow, mom, what a bitch move. And she runs inside. She's freaking out. She's screaming. She locks herself in the room and she's threatening to kill herself. So her mom did the only thing she thought she could do with a suicidal, freaking out 16-year-old. Mm-hmm. She called cops. And I listened to the 911 call and you could just hear Rachel.
She just sounded like a bratty fucking teenager, you know? Like, freak, just cussing her mom out.
Just being a little bitch, screaming like, mom! Like, just being crazy and...
Yeah, it did sound crazy on there.
She needed to be arrested. Like, you could hear her hitting her mom. So, she got admitted and she was put into a psychiatric hospital for 6 days after the mental breakdown. And then she finally admitted what happened. They Saturday, okay, so her parents leave from picking her up from the hospital and they drive directly to Rachel's lawyer's office. And they're like, okay, what's going on? Why are you in today? And two questions in, she's like, we killed her. We stabbed her.
Like, I'm not even trying to. And they're like, we did it.
What? So they're totally mind blown because all they heard was this rumor that she had overdosed and they're hearing that they stabbed this girl to death. Mm-hmm. They're like, what? Like, how do you believe that? So on January 16th, 2013, she finally led the police to Skylar's remains. They had known about this for like a little over 2 weeks, but they had to wait for the snow to melt.
I guess that's like one good thing that Rachel did. Was at least
give the parents that peace.
Give the parents her body so they could like move on and bury. You know,
it's still so sick. Like
still fucked up, but at least she led them to the body because you know everybody needs that kind of closure. Like whenever a loved one dies,
that's the only thing they wanted. And she took a plea deal for it. Like they were like, if you are willing to give us the remains of Skylar, we will let you off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're gonna get some time, but it's not gonna be the time
that... Yeah, I seen Skylar's dad was like, it was totally worth it.
Because they just wanted her to be home.
Yeah, they just wanted her
which
body.
Which I totally understand. Like, I get it.
I would have done it, too. Yeah. I feel like if I was in that spot.
I would have done it. So, after they found out where Skylar was and they got her, Sheila posted a picture on Twitter and said, quote, unquote, rest easy, Skylar. You will always be my best friend, and I miss you more than you will ever know.
You stupid fucking bitch.
Then Rachel, the same day, posted a picture of them together and said, quote unquote, rest in peace, baby. Love you.
Like, Rachel, you just told on yourself.
And she's playing it off like she didn't do
and
anything.
And now you're putting this stuff on. I don't. Social media, bro.
So the last thing that Skylar had posted on Twitter the night before she had got murdered was just...
We really did go on three. Was that it?
No, that was Sheila.
Later. Oh.
She said, I'm sick of being at home. Thanks, friends. Love hanging out with all of you, too. Then she said, stress will be the death of me. No, your best friends will be
the death of me. Two best friends is going to be the death of you.
And then she said, you doing shit like this is why I can never completely trust you. So this is the night that she went out with them and she wasn't going to go out with them. Like, something was telling her not to do it, and she still did.
Poor girl. Like, had no idea what she was
doing. I feel for this chick, like...
Because, yeah, you fight with your friends or whatever.
But I never think of killing them.
Yeah, like, or you might even put the fight on social media, which I never agree to, because that's stupid, for one. But they were children, you know.
They were teenagers.
You get into cat fights, you put the shit on social media, whatever.
Twitter is my little...
You don't fucking think at some point, like, your two best friends that know everything about you is literally gonna stab you in the back.
And the only reason she had to say that they killed her was because they just didn't like her anymore.
Like, you can't just be like, okay, we don't want to be friends with you no more because we don't like you.
You're already a bitch. Why didn't you just say that?
Yeah, if you're such... my point, if you're such a fucking bitch and you torment and bully all these people, you couldn't just say, we don't want to be your friend.
They had
to... We don't like you.
Yeah. So, okay, they had posted this on Twitter, and everybody's trying to get Sheila to admit to it. Like, they know that Rachel admitted, but they don't know what she had admitted to. Oh my God. Because it was just to her lawyer. She still had to go through trial and everything. So she never actually got arrested just yet. But because of this, the police had Rachel wired and invited Sheila over after she got home to talk about everything that was going on. But they didn't. Like, I guess she kind of knew that, like, this girl cracked. And
yeah, it was just awkward.
Yeah, she wasn't about to spill the beans.
Except for that one picture they took. That was kind of weird.
They look so strung out. Like, they look like
I missed you.
Finally got to see Rage.
Oh, yeah, finally got to see Rage.
I just don't understand. So, the police are like, okay, we know that y'all did this. So, they confiscated all of Sheila's kitchen knives. And they took her phone. They took her car, and they found Skylar's blood in the trunk of Sheila's car. And they ran the DNA, figured it out. It was Skylar's blood. And that's all they needed to arrest her. They had evidence. So Rachel and Sheila were free and active on social media for 5 months after Skylar's remains were found.
Holy shit.
Talk about white privilege, huh?
Huh. No, let's not talk about that. Because everybody's gonna be mad about our little podcast.
Stop. No, I'm just saying, like,
no, I totally get it. Yeah, for real. Okay, so 5 months,
rich white girls get away with
because
killing.
I guarantee fucking to you, if it was a different person of color, or, you know,
a different race,
or a male, whatever, or different race, they wouldn't have been free for 5 months after they found the person's body.
I mean, look at Gary Hynek.
Caught, baby.
The same day. The same day, bro. Yeah. Okay, so they were free for 5 whole months, and Rachel's first appearance were in court on May 1st, 2013. She surrendered herself to the police. I guess she looked bad. Guilt. She looked rough. Girl looked like she
had cut her hair, everything.
She cut her hair, she gained weight, she stopped wearing makeup. This girl was depressed, bro.
We ain't mad though, she gained weight, you know. We ain't mad about that, but like, you just looked rough, honey. I guess you would look rough after killing a person. And
it really took a toll on her. Like, you can tell that she was remorseful over it.
She really did go through a mental breakdown, for real, yeah.
And she was already sensitive to begin with. Like, I really feel like Sheila was the idea of it all. And Rachel just didn't think it was going to go that far. And when it did, she was like, oh shit, we really just...
Yeah, I think Rachel was just kind of like along for the ride.
And she didn't think it would go that far. And then when it did, it was like way too late.
Yeah, she was like, oh, well, we already killed her. Let's keep on going.
But the thing was, whenever they were riding around in the car and they got turned around, they're doing this silent agreement of where they're gonna put this last placement for this girl.
Yeah.
And she's in the back seat, and you didn't think to be like, let's not do it, let's just go home.
Yeah. Never mind, I don't want to do this.
No, let's just go home.
Or like, can we really do this? I don't know about you. I mean, like, sometimes I feel like I could really kill a person, but not really, you know, when I think, there's no way I could do that.
I couldn't.
There's no way.
I feel bad about killing a mouse when I was 13. Literally. I still think about it.
If I squish a bug, my feelings is hurt.
Dude, I hit a squirrel on my way home from work one day in my car, and I cried.
You cried.
I couldn't imagine killing a person. Like, what? Like, I get pissed off, but, like, never in my life would I be able to take someone's life. Never. Yeah,
that's crazy.
So, after that, she had surrendered, the niece family and, like, their pissed. They're ready. They're ready for this trial to go on, for them to get it. And they really thought that since Rachel had pled guilty to second-degree murder, that Sheila was just going to plead guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right off the bat. So, her whole plea, like, they do different trials whenever you do a plea and when you do a sentence. Because sometimes they don't do a trial. Like, if you plead guilty, you don't have to have a trial. And if you plead not guilty, they go through the whole process and the jury decides.
Confusing.
Yeah. So, she had pled guilty on January of 2014. So, she didn't really have, like, a full in-depth trial. And she read an apology to the niece family, as well as her family, teachers, whoever that she thought would take pity on her. And, like, this girl's crying, talking about how sad she is and how remorseful she feels. And she knows that she can never take back or give Skylar back. Duh, you can't.
Yeah.
Like, there's no words that are gonna, like, ever do anything.
But at least she did do something.
Yeah. She at least... Okay, so, like,
with
that...
I mean, I'm not taking her side by saying that, but...
So, with that, she turned herself in. She did the right thing. She admitted to it. And Sheila was not gonna, like, give up.
Yeah, I was about to say, compared to Sheila's stank ass, like, at least Rachel wrote the letter and was like, I'm gonna say sorry to the people who I hurt. Also, I'm going to confess to a murder that I took part in.
Exactly.
Sheila didn't want to do none of that.
Well,
she was just going to shut up.
She posted on her Twitter right around the same time that Rachel and her met up and she was going to confess. Sheila was like, oh my fuck. I almost had a damn heart attack. Why do you think that she was about to have a heart attack? Because she was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Then she's like, we really did go on three.
Until you killed one.
We really did go on three. You're admitting that you did that, but you can't turn yourself in like the other girl did. So after they found her DNA, they gave her a few days to, like, let it sink in. And they didn't tell her that they found the DNA. And they call up her mom, Tara, Sheila's mom, and they're like, hey, we need to meet up with Sheila to do a few more questionings. And her mom's like, okay, we're gonna be at the Cracker Barrel. We're gonna be there after we eat supper. Knowing that they're going there to arrest your daughter, you tell them where y'all are eating supper at. And that's the worst place to have, like, your last supper. Give me a margarita and some tacos. Cause
yeah, you're right.
I don't want to eat no Cracker Barrel plain chicken tenders.
Well,
with
I mean,
a root
she
beer.
Didn't know that was going to be
she didn't
her
know.
Last free meal.
But, like, you didn't think that they were going to find that DNA in your car, knowing that you had.
I think she just thought she was going to get away with
it. She was so naive and stupid. Yeah, she really thought during the questioning, she was trying to flirt with the investigators.
Yeah, she. That's what I'm saying. Like, the whole. I fucking hated her, the whole story. I hate her.
I liked her in the beginning. Like, I didn't like her, but, like, I was, like, I felt bad. Because I was, like, this pretty young girl who was my age just got caught up in the wrong crowd. But, like, the deeper I get into it, she meant for
this
shit to happen.
The more you realize. Yeah, like, she planned this out.
Cold blood.
She was a little fucking shithead the whole time.
Like, your best friend of 8 years, you're just gonna kill because you got a new friend.
The whole time you were friends with this girl, you were a shithead to her.
Wrong. Just so
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, I didn't
like
her.
I watched videos and then together, and she was so hateful towards Skylar. Like, she was like, you're so fucking dumb.
I know.
Girl, shut up. You're dumb.
Thank you.
So, she gets arrested on May 30th, 2013, and she also does a plea the same day as Rachel in January 2014. She didn't at first go in there saying that she was going to plead guilty to first-degree murder. She pled not guilty. She did. Right away. She decided she was going to plead guilty. Well, she was going to plead not guilty. But as she got in there, and the lawyer was like, I have nothing to save your ass.
You know that's bad when your own lawyer's like...
He was like, there's nothing I can do. You're just going to have to take a plea. So, she stands up. She does not cry throughout the whole time they're talking about the murder.
Because she does not care.
She only started crying when they started talking about herself. So, she stands up and the judge was like, okay, so what is your plea? And Miss Eddie goes, guilty in the first degree. So she admits that she killed this girl. This is what they had been waiting for this entire time. And her lawyer was going to let her, you know, read an apology like Rachel did. Mm-hmm. And she didn't want to. So the lawyer read it out and acknowledged the suffering and pain that she caused Denise's family. But she never once said she was sorry. She never once said that she wanted to take it back. It was just this stupid letter that she came up with to get out of there real quick.
She should not be let out of prison, in my opinion.
The thing that gets me, they look at you the wrong way for apologizing for a murder that you committed, but they look at you even worse if you don't apologize for a murder that you committed. Mm-hmm. Like, she just looks so awful. Because
she don't care. She's like, no.
She doesn't talk about it still to this day. So the lawyer read it out. They didn't buy it. They didn't want to have anything heard about it. Dave literally said in an interview that he was sitting down and he wanted to go across that table and kill her because she looks at them as they're talking about everything before the plea and she smiles at them.
Who the fuck smiles at the parents of a dead girl that you killed?
The only thing that he said kept him there was because he wasn't going to be able to see her sentencing. And he wanted to see what she was going to get.
Bro, I don't know. So that's the only reason I would have lost my shit on her.
Oh, definitely. So, she pled guilty to first-degree murder. Rachel pled guilty to second-degree murder. Sheila was sentenced to 15 to life with the possibility of parole after 15 years. Mm-hmm. They were both tried as adults. Even though they were minors whenever the murder took place, in the state of West Virginia, they can choose if they want you to be tried as an adult or a minor.
Depending but with the severity, the yeah, case is, yeah.
With the severity of it, they just went ahead and tried them as adults. Rachel got 40 years, but she's up for parole in 10 years. So Rachel will be up for parole in 2024, and Sheila will be up for parole in 2029.
I hope she dies in there.
That's with perfect behavior.
I mean, like, I know that's real rude to say or whatever, you should forgive and forget. And, like, I'm all about people getting the help that they need and, like, being released out into the world.
But
and
they
stuff.
Had no reason.
But she literally had, she had no reason to do this to her so-called best friend. And,
it's like, cold-hearted.
Yeah.
And for you to be 16 years old and think of murder as your
planned.
First...
It was too planned for me.
It was definitely first degree. Yeah. They had planned it out. They decided where they were going. They had everything with them. See, like, the difference with first degree and second degree is more of, like, you didn't mean for it to happen. It just happened. First degree is you contemplated it, you figured it out, you planned it out,
everything,
and you succeeded with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
They deserve what they got. I feel like they deserve more.
And if you're gonna, like, call somebody your best friend, even before it got bad, you know? Let's just say before it got bad, like, you still have love for that person. Well, I don't know about them personally, but me, you know, like, or you, you know? Like, if something ever happened between us, like, it doesn't matter. I'm still gonna love you.
I've had hate with friends, but I would never want to kill them. Like, there's people that I have in my past that still hate me, but, like,
if something was to happen to him, traumatic,
yeah.
you would still feel for him, like, mm-hmm. deep down,
yeah.
you know?
No matter how much hate I have for you, I did love you at one point.
Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna, I don't know. I guess
it's such a
what
sick...
goes on in people's heads, because, you know, serial killers and all that kind of stuff, something just clicks when you do stuff like that, but...
There's no excuse for it. And now, they were at two different jails. Now, they're at the same prison.
Ooh, and you know what's real aggravating? So, the other day, I looked up... Now I can't think of her name. Stupid. Not Rachel. Sheila. I looked up Sheila to see when her... when she was gonna be able to get out on parole. Because mm-hmm. I couldn't remember and it was aggravating me. Anyways, I seen her face. She's still pretty. I hate that.
And she's smiling in
fucking
her new
mugshot. Like,
she's still smiling.
Yeah.
She looks good. She do. And that's sickening.
Oh, I can't stand it. I'm like, can you just be ugly? Can you be as ugly as your personality?
I wonder if she's, like, a lesbian in jail.
Duh. I think everybody's gay in jail. Or prison. Whatever. Hey, they could deny it if they want to.
There's
but
nothing else you can
you
do,
know
I guess.
The truth. We know people who's inside the jailhouse right now who is getting all the booty.
Okay. Anyway.
That was our second episode, you guys.
Thanks for tuning in to Crime, Lime, and Vodka. Hopefully this was a good insight for you. We tried to get the case down. And this is just something that, like, I've known about since I was a teenager. Like, the time that this case was happening, I was 17. So, like, this could have easily happened to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that just fucks me up so bad.
Oh, no.
But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll be back next week for a new episode.
Bye. Bye.